This is Radio Powered by the People, KPFK, 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, 93.7 San Diego, worldwide at kpfk.org. You're currently listening to Melting Pot here every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. My name is Michael Barnes, and I'm your host for this program. And on today's show, we have a guest here in our studios, Mike Watt, of many, many, many different projects, including the Minuteman and Firehose, and more recently with the Stooges, and also a project we've been talking about earlier in the program, a kind of trio of improvisational music called Il Sogno del Marinaio. And here I was hoping we could also you brought some music in, and I was wondering if there were some particular things that you wanted to play.
Well, some of this stuff comes from my background. So I want to hear maybe the Oyster Cult or T-Rex.
That's cool.
Or Wire or Pop Group. I heard the Pop Group are going to play here in March.
Oh, really?
They never came. You know, in those old days, we only knew them by their records. And they're going to play here 35 years later. Can you believe that? I think the Echo Plex.
Oh, wow.
In March, yeah. So... That's what I did. I picked some tunes from my stuff. That kind of had a big effect on me. Rocky Erickson. I'm going to get to do all of the Funkadelic Maggot Brain album with Eric McFadden at the end of January at the Viper Room. He asked me. I said, yeah.
Really?
I said, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, I know all them tunes. I played them a bunch. I've played a couple of them in front of people, but I haven't done the whole album, so that's something to look forward to. I get to that. I think I put that tune on there. And I think Eric's got some kind of residency.
Okay. Is it like Maggot Brain tribute? Or
I said, let's do the whole album. He said, well, why don't you come over and jam? And I remember I recorded with him a trippy version of Super Stupid.
Uh-huh.
So I said, okay, I'll come. You know, I'm doing every Wednesday at the Viper Room in January. Says that, okay, I'll come there, but let's a little focus. Like, let's do all of Maggot Brain. You know, you be Eddie Hazel, I'll be Billy Bass. I'll be Mike Watt, but I'll be doing Billy Bass.
Yeah.
Or you know, in the wow, you could hear that. That's scratching the coat, people. Sorry. And so that's going to come up. You know, Raymond Pettibone first played me John Coltrane. You know, these people I met in the early punk scene, like Raymond, you know, turned me on. I found out there was a lot of similarities. Musically maybe, yeah, a little more sophisticated with the bebop guys, but seemed like they were into doing collaborations every shot they got.
Oh, yeah, very much.
So I think maybe... maybe we got some of that tradition going for what we got. So that's why I gave you in musics.
Okay, why don't we start off with that John Coltrane that you put on here?
All right,
especially since you talked about it a couple times, and just mentioned it as well. So this is music selected by Mike Watt, and the music itself from John Coltrane here on KPFK 90.7 FM in Melting Pot.
Thank you.
the garden grow. Oh, oh. I could never understand the wind at all. Was like a ball of love. Oh, oh. And when I
music from Funkadelic here on KPFK and Melting Pot. Can you get to that? The name of the song. Tracks, all the tracks in that set, chosen by Mike Watt, brought in just for today's show. What you talked a little bit about that funk, and we were talking. I almost feel like I should leave the mics on while the music's playing, just that, you know, have it in the background just so you guys can hear the conversations that we get to have when the music is playing. But why'd you think about bringing in that Funkadelic, other than the possibility of playing this Maggot Brain show that's coming up next year?
Oh, yeah, with Eric. No, I brought it in because this band had a huge influence on me. And, you know, the bass guitar, you could hear in an R&B. Okay. Over across the water, Jack Bruce, John Entwistle. Yeah, it seems like over there they weren't afraid, but over here they were keeping the bass pretty muddy in the rock and roll, but not in R&B. Bass was up strong. And George Clinton seemed like, man, he was balls out about just trying whatever he wanted to do. You know, like, right here, you're free your ass, your mind.
Yeah.
Your mind will follow. I mean, you know, me and Deep Boone, we were in a weird place being growing up as boys in the 60s, where people are taking things in their hands, like the civil right and the war, a lot of things, even the music racket, you know, and acting on it. But by the time we come of age in the 70s, a lot of people just gave up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were, yeah, kind of disappointed. But I think this is what drove us harder. Maybe it was a good thing in the long run because it drove us into the punk movement and then trying to get our own thing together. But Funkadelic and Jimmy, I mean, this was rock and roll. This was like Jerry Lee Lewis and Little Richard.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but it was starting to change. It wasn't, yeah. And it freaked me out. And when I met these people at the punk gigs, they were on that same wavelength that I wasn't getting from other people. Who were kind of like liking it, getting all separated and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, no, that's too neat. We need it messy. We need it mixed up. Funkadelics. Remember, too, I grew up in Navy housing. You know, I don't grow up like the average guy. Well, average sailor son, but. So I didn't, you know, we were separated by rank.
Yeah.
We're not separated by people. So that always weirded me out. You know, when you're little, you think the whole world is the way you're growing up. So when, you know, the rude awakening comes, it's like, what? Like, hardly anybody lives this way. You know? And it freaked me out. First I thought civilians were all millionaires, you know, because they had their own path. But then I saw the way they lived, all separate like that. And the same thing was coming down with the music. It wasn't that way when I was a boy. It wasn't that way when I was growing up. So, yeah, maybe a little sentimental, a little nostalgia just for this idea where I was learning from a whole bunch of different places what music's about. I like that. I think that has a big consequence to why I'm curious, why I don't want to just stick with the same old, same old.
Yeah. Also in the set, we played T-Rex Slider. T-Rex. And
my first gig. Yeah. D-Boone's pop took me, him, and his brother Joe. And we saw this stuff, you know, and it was very freaky. There were some Hare Krishnas in front of us with sparklers, I remember. And you know, D-Boone's pop, you might as well see a hayseed. I mean, this guy was way into Buck Owens. He didn't know what any of this was. But, you know, I'm going to take my sons and... That was a trip about Danny Boone and Margie Boone, D. Boone's mom and pop. They had nothing against playing music.
Yeah.
In fact, do it. Do it. You know, you won't get in trouble on the streets. You come out after school and just never saw it as like a way to make a living, of course. But it was, I got to hand it to those people, you know, and just working people, not sophisticated. D. Boone's mom knew how to play a little guitar. His, you know, Pop played the record player and the radio, but they didn't have any hang-ups with that.
Yeah.
That was a really fortunate thing, especially for me, to have that in my life. You know, Petra, right, Charlie's daughter, old friend of mine, and I've always thought of, wow, what was it like to grow up?
In that
Charlie
family.
Had, yeah, you know. And well, she never heard The Who. I remember when I turned her on to that... The quick one, you know, she never heard any of that stuff. She ended up, you know, doing the whole thing a cappella, eating lunch with Pete Townsend, loves it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, had none of that. But then she told me, you know what, it was kind of difficult to watch. So, there's the other man's grass, other greener, I guess. But we were really lucky. And also with the Proj, when you're living in the Proj, materialism isn't such a big deal because there ain't any... to go around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember that's why we never played with a keyboard player. In those days, those cost so much. But for that shortcoming, I think there was a lot to gain by it, too. What about, I hear in education there's this thing called, it was called SEAL, and now it's going to be SEER. No, sell, and now it's going to be seal. So you want to put the arts back in.
Okay, yeah. Long overdue.
Yeah. I mean...
Though this is, you know, one of the things that in higher education that we're currently starting to have some issues with is this kind of idea that unless the major you have has some kind of direct use for what it is you're going to do afterwards, that it's almost like meaningless. And so you're seeing people getting away from humanities and no longer having those kind of that kind of training. Though, you know, it connects back to what we were talking about earlier, how the kind of purpose of those things isn't just to have, you know, a great knowledge of English literature, but it's part of the approach to learning that's different than if you're just in hardcore economics or in mathematics or science. Like, you know, they're different approaches, and being well-rounded with all those things, you know, makes for different people. And it's certainly something when you know, in public K-12 education has been missing in the U.S.
This one reason why Flea got that music conservatory, because he went back to Fairfax where he learned trumpet. They had gotten rid of the music program.
Yeah.
He couldn't believe it. So, okay, I'm going to do it on my own. I'm always thinking that, you know, when you're playing, when a guy does bring his kid to see you play, or he tells you about him telling his kids and this, and that I'm kind of strange way part of an education process.
Uh-huh.
I feel good about that. You know, not like I'm in charge of it. You know, these cats are making use of whatever, but it's something about that, you know. Maybe what's lacking in other areas, maybe we bring in like this from the side door. I wonder if you can institutionalize some of these kind of things. Man, if we could. The whole thing about aesthetics... You know, but they are important. I think this is one of the components in a curious personality.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the different threads we were talking about certainly come together in the track and artist we started off with, John Coltrane, from this just newly released thing, Live at Temple. It's more or less, I don't think it's his last concert, but it's one of his last concerts. It's fairly close to when he passed. And you heard Offering from that. And once again, all chosen by Mike Watt, who's here in the studios with us. Where should we go next?
Well, you know, when I met D. Boone, the only rock band he knew was Creedence. He had all six of them Creedence records, you know. And, of course, he's not using the covers, you know. They're on the hardwood deck, you know, the grape juice. You got to stick 5/4 on the tone arm to keep from skipping. And, you know, his mom wants me to play bass. I can't hear any bass. But I noticed the singer. He likes these kind of shirts. You know, now I'm maybe housing, I don't know, lumberjacks or farmers so I thought that was his kind of rock and roll shirt. So I started wearing these flannels. I thought, well, maybe D. Boone will still like me. I can't figure out what this bass guy's doing, but if I wear the singer's shirts, maybe he still like me. So I brought you this song, Effigy, which is interesting. It's, I don't know what John Fogerty, you know, because this is the 60s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the end of the 60s, but this period when people talked about things in songs. And intense song effigy. You know, and I remember as a kid, I mean, we never knew what words were for in songs. I thought they were some kind of lead guitar. But I listen back now, and it makes total sense why D. Boone liked John Fogerty's words. I mean, that guy could nail it. He could, and effigy is like, wow. talk about, you know, deciding what's important, you know, instead of just having, you know, beauty contests. Mm.
All right, so we're gonna hear CCR now here on KPFK 90.7 FM and Melting Pot, the song Effigy, chosen by Mike Watt here in the studio. Music from the Buzzcocks here on KPFK and Melting Pot 90.7 FM. Song chosen by Mike Watt. Something's Gone Wrong Again. We've been having a conversation, but I do wonder why that particular song from the Buzzcocks.
Yeah, because I think rock and roll, was turning into Nuremberg rallies. At that point, it had to, swallow a man pill and deal with some things, uh-huh. Just being successful and selling a lot of whatever didn't mean that the culture was that healthy. I think it was I felt that in that tune that those cats did. A lot of Buzzcocks songs are, it's trippy out of Mr. Shelley, a country across the sea, a different thing. But a lot of them issues resonated me. That song, Autonomy. Even though, they've been used by bands to be very successful in a pop thing, he wrote some deep stuff. Who writes a song like Autonomy?
Yeah.
Why does a pop guy have to write a song like that?
Yeah.
Because he had to. And I'm glad he did. Or, Noise the Noise. Before that was pop group, Forces of Oppression. Kind of the same thing, The same, it's a little heavier on the bass and the drums. But to me, it's the same. What are we going to do? What is to be done? No self-satisfied smirk, but, roll up the sleeves and let's get to it. You were talking about Joe Hill. He spent some time in Pedro.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen his songs, but, he wrote songs. And there was something about putting the information in a song that we're talking about a gig off the air, people. I did a benefit for puppets that got destroyed to get more money up to build more puppets. And I was asking Michael here, why would the police be so afraid? And he made a great point saying a young person can understand a puppet. And so the authoritarian, that's why they want to bring down the boot.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'd never realized that. And that was like 12 years ago. Thank you. I'm a slow learner. I'm a slow learner.
That whole set was a really, really forceful and very kind of poignant, especially for all that's going on right now, including with the Creedence starting things off with Effigy.
Right.
Three pop group and Buzzcocks sort of in the same family, but still really different sounds.
Yeah.
Three different groups and kind of looking at things in three different ways, though, making comments about kind of similar issues in society.
Yeah.
Really, really interesting kind of dynamic there in the sets.
Yeah, making a stand against forces of oppression. Who is Boynton? Fogerty liked, obviously, Howlin' Wolf, so this is Boynton. He ain't just burning.
Yeah.
But who... And something's gone wrong. They're asking questions. I know people here going through their minds, even if there might be in some denial, especially to friends or peers. I know. It's funny. I mentioned that because I remember seeing some really horrible kind of political advertisement for an election.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it had all these refugees, and then this guy translated in another language. It said he does what we think. That's really scary.
Yeah,
I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah,
we don't need a guy who puts in, into action what we're all really thinking.
Yeah,
that's disgusting. Well, I was thinking of was more of like Emma Goldman thing, where your own consciousness. Gets a spark of expression. Not that you have a better solution, but there's something that's got to be, you got to be part of.
Yeah.
And not getting some guy to take on the straw man. Yeah, that's really dangerous. So these guys aren't speaking for us in the songs. It's just a little, I think a resonance about being kind of skeptical.
Yeah.
About stuff that, you know, they drilled into our heads so many ways how things should be done. But still all these problems. But they won't address that. The problem, you know, I don't know, the... When I hear a lot of blame on, you aren't like those cats from the old days. Of course, they don't really tell you the story of the old days. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thank God we got the songs. And, you know, these things, when I was a younger man and first hearing this stuff, and I'm doing my work and going through my day, and... They built up good rhythms in me, a good motivator for me to search out people, and I want to say still in the expression realm, because it seems just to offer up an opinion for the sake of an opinion. That stuff reminds me of CB radio and. People hiding behind handles and, you know what I mean, just going off. So mm-hmm. I'm not advocating something like that, but this thing about artists, for example, Walt Whitman, right? Leaves of Grass. He's going to write these 12 poems to try to stop the Civil War. Huh. I mean, I'm into it. He doesn't really give you a... exact instructions, but there's some steps in there if we would have taken, maybe, you know, like, you know, I contradict myself, so I contradict myself. I am vast. I contain multitudes.
Yeah.
And so this is why I think some of this stuff spoke to me, even though me and D. Boone had no idea what lyrics were about. I think as we start thinking about that, same time is coming in on this punk movement. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
And so maybe the ways about talking about things. Because that stuff in the 60s, it was more of a something going on. We're little kids, so... But we knew something was up. Oh, every time my pop had to go on another tour, you know, he did tours too.
Yeah.
But they were to push the boat close enough so they could drop the bombs.
Yeah.
The whole, you know, finding out about it, you know, right? The only thing new is you finding out about it.
Yeah.
No truer words were ever said. But then the way you act on that, too, you react to it. And the way it stays healthy, I think, is we keep it a work in progress. Get skeptical about it in order to, like, motivate. But... not get it all figured out. Not get in a place where nobody has anything to teach you.
Yeah. So in some ways, you know, in you saying that and also, you know, thinking about the music that you create, not just that curiosity, but also kind of a skepticism seems to be a part of it, because that kind of keeps pushing you. Like, you haven't figured it all out. And so it keeps pushing you to try and figure it all out. It's like you have this body of work that most people looking at it would say, you know, Mike Watt has really figured it out. Look at all these records. Listen to all this music. But that curiosity about trying to find something new, but also, you know, that not resting on things would seem to also connect to that, you know, skepticism in some ways, you know, like, this isn't the only way of doing these things. There has to be other ways. I haven't quite figured it out. I need to kind of stay at it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But there's one thing I know. It's how much I don't know. And, you know, no problem in my 20s, right? I knew everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah.
But these, it's good to look back on the old tunes. I haven't done this for a while, Michael. It's really neat to think about. Yeah, these songs aren't a passing for me. It's not like, oh, that was, right, there's this thing, oh, your guilty pleasures, what's the embarrassing things. Yeah, I'm not embarrassed to liken this. I don't think it's the best, you know. There's still good stuff being put out. But I understand how it bore some kind of witness on me, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more like a toolbox. It wasn't, you know, this is how it's done. But if there's stuff in here you might want to get your hands on and try out, see what fits you best, and you and your ensemble,
mm-hmm.
your crew, your team. Because that, too. I gotta say, man, sometimes my people skills, I can, yeah, they're only as good as, like, cats in music. You know, thank God I got this kind of, yeah, little ambassador thing, a little bridge, little tunnel, little, yeah, I don't know. It helps me connect.
Well, we're sort of getting close to the end of the show. We don't have too much time here. I think probably I'll close up with another song from this most recent project from you, Il Sogno di Marinaro. But if we could get a sense of other things that are going on. Actually, did you bring a track from that new project? I think you called it was Cuz.
Cuz.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do in March and in April, do a tour in England. That's Sam. Yeah, I think it's called France Gnarl.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe we'll close up on both of those things. So this Cuz, and there's going to be a actual release for this?
It came out.
Oh, it just came out.
A couple months ago.
Oh, it's okay. There you go.
Tama Tabaco, which means magic box. And it's so trippy, you know. Ever since seeing T-Rex, you know, I wanted to always make a record in England with an England guy. It finally happened. It finally happened with good old Sam. And Cuz, you know, it's a short abbreviation of the word because.
Hmm.
You know, why does a dog, you know, because he can. Mm-hmm. And the same thing. Why did I make that record? Because I could. The opportunity was there. Brother Sam wanted to let me come over there and just jam with him, and then he would take the little jams and make tunes out of them. It was an approach I'd never been even near
mm-hmm.
before. This idea of the samples, I guess that's part of this modern thing.
Yeah.
So what I suggested was, why don't we be our own samples? So I just jammed with him for hours, and he took plucked little things and made tunes out of these.
Huh.
And had me fly over some stuff from Pedro, some spiel, bass solo. Yeah, very. There's lots of ways to make music. There's lots of ways to paint pictures, to write books, write poems. By the way, that Leaves of Grass was DIY. You know, he had to put that out himself.
That's true.
So when we talk about the old traditional things, why doesn't that ever get brought up? You know?
Yeah.
160 years ago.
It's very punk rock back then.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing new.
Yeah.
You finding out about it.
Very true.
Yeah. John Lennon, right, he said there's no problems, only solutions. But, man, the solutions do require elbow grease, not just lip service.
Very much so.
So I'm glad there's cats who want to get filthy in music with me. Mm. All my collaborators. Because
yeah.
What's glue without anything to stick to? Just a puddle, man. I don't want it to be just a puddle, Michael.
Yeah, just a sticky puddle.
A sticky puddle.
So, yeah, thank you. Again, thank you so much for coming in and sharing the stories. And again, you know, I feel this is one of those times where kind of the way we do things here in radio, it really kind of cheats you listeners in some ways that you couldn't be here to have all the stories that we were able to tell when we were off the air as well. I kind of wish I'd figured out some way or thought about it and recorded those too. But because they were just really fantastic. It really is, you know, it was an honor to have you earlier in the year, and it's doubly an honor to have you here live in the studio with us and share these stories and share all these songs. And again, I just can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Michael. Big time.
Okay, so we're going to close out with one last track. And again, this is from Mike Watt, one of his more recent projects, this group called Cuz. Who's the other artist that you're with right here?
Sam Duke.
Sam Duke and Mike Watt together. And this show ought to be archived on the KPFK website. It'll be archived on our website, meltingpotblog.com, a little later on in the week. And big thanks to all of you listening, and especially all of you who support this station, KPFK. You know, we wouldn't be able to have the kind of program that we just had and the kind of conversations that we just had on too many stations in the country, certainly. And the fact that we're able to is all because of the people out there who make this radio station possible. And so especially thank all of you who give us the freedom to do this kind of programming. And once again, thank you so much, Mike Watt, coming in.
Michael, thanks. Respect to KPFK.
All right. This is the last song I got for you from Mike Watt and his group Cuz. Folk Scene's up next. I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. Santana from Truth Seekers is going to be here on the show next week. But I'll see you when I see you. Y'all take care.